This is the NBC Theater. From the NBC Theater in Hollywood, we bring you an hour-length dramatization of one of the great midsummer novels, Mark Twain's enchanting story of a very special boy, Huckleberry Finn. Today's radio adaptation is by Ernest Canoy of NBC, and it begins as follows.
Persons attempting to find a motive in this narrative will be prosecuted. Persons attempting to find a moral in it will be banished. Persons attempting to find a plot in it will be shot. By order of the author.
I'm Huck Finn. You don't know about me without you read a book called Tom Sawyer, but I'm Huck Finn just the same. If you did read that book, you remember Tom Sawyer and me found some money hid by robbers in a cave. Judge Thatcher, he's about the smartest man in all Missouri. Well, he put the money out at interest. Before I was rich, I used to live in the woods, free and comfortable-like. But after we found the money, the Widow Douglas lowed she'd civilize me. It was awful, considering how dismal, regular, and decent the widow was in her ways.
Huckleberry, I will not have you smoking. It's a mean practice, and tain't clean. Besides, 14's too young.
That's the way it was. What with new clothes and Bible reading and spelling books, I was ready to cut and run. One night she was at it worse than usual.
Huckleberry?
Yes'm.
Don't scrunch up like that. Sit up straight.
Yes'm.
Can't you stop squirming so? Huck Finn, have you got your shoes off?
Yes'm.
I declare, sometimes I'm afraid you're going to grow up just like your father. Land of Goshen, Huck. You might as well go up to bed. I can't stand your fidgeting.
I sat by the window in my room, just staring. I tried to think of something cheerful, but it weren't no use. I got so downhearted and scared that I lit my pipe and didn't care if the widder smelled it or not. Then a twig snapped down in the yard.
Meow. Huck. Huck Finn.
Meow. That you, Tom Sawyer?
Yep. Come on down the drain pipe. We're having a meeting by the graveyard. Over here, Huck.
Shh. Tom, I see you.
Who's there?
Blasted, you woke Jim, the widow's slave. Come on, Tom.
Who is you? I thought the old wind. That's all. Just the old howling wind around us.
You went inside. Come on.
What is all this, Tom?
We're going to start a band of robbers. Call it Tom Sawyer's Gang. Everybody will have to sign an oath in blood.
Blood? Land, why?
So he won't tell us secrets about who the gang kills and all. If he does, he gets his throat cut and his carcass burned up and has a curse put on him.
That's a powerful good oath.
And then the gang kills all his family, too.
What about me? I ain't got no family.
Well, you got a father, ain't you?
Oh, you can't never find Pap these days. He used to lay drunk with the hawks in the tanyard, but he ain't been seen for a year. Wait a minute. You could have the Widow Douglas to kill.
I reckon that'd do. She's most family.
What's the line of business for this here gang, Tom?
Nothing much. Only murder and robbery.
Who are we gonna rob? Houses and cattle and things?
Not us. Stealing cattle and such ain't robbery.
What is it?
Burglary. And we ain't burglars.
No?
That ain't no sort of style.
Well, what's our style, Tom?
We're highwaymen, real style. We hold up carriages on the King's Highway and kill people.
Sounds all right. Who do you figure on highwaying first?
I got secret news from my spies that a whole parcel of Spanish merchants and rich Arabs with 200 elephants and 600 camels...
Elephants and camels? Ooh, I'd sure like to see them.
You'll be seeing them all right, Huck. We're going to lie in an ambuscade.
What's an ambuscade?
Oh, it's in the books. That's where the highwaymen always lie.
Is it like a swamp?
I reckon it's like a swamp.
I don't fancy lying in any swamp, Tom.
Blame it all, Huck. We've got to do it. Anyway, all them elephants and camels, they're going to be encamped at Cave Hollow tomorrow afternoon.
Now, wait a minute, Tom Sawyer. That's a Sunday school picnic going to be in Cave Hollow tomorrow, and you know it.
It'll just look like a Sunday school picnic. It's really Arabs. It's all done by enchantment. If you read that book, Don Quixote, you know all about it.
Tom, don't you get mad now, but I judge all that stuff one of your book lies. Maybe you believe in them Arabs and elephants, but I'm going back to my room.
New clothes, huh?
Pap! How'd you get in my room?
You think you're a big bug, don't you?
Maybe.
Don't give me no lip. I'll take you down a peg before I'm through. Getting educated, ain't you? Read and write, too. Well, that's it.
Yeah.
Well, who told you could meddle with that foolishness, huh? Who told you?
The widow, she told me.
Oh, the widow, huh? Well, I'll learn her to meddle. Lucky now you dropped that school, you hear? Putting on airs, letting out to be better than your father. You hear, Huck?
Yes, Pap.
Ain't the man to stand it. Now let me hear you read here. Take up this book.
Well, General Washington made his headquarters 3 miles... Oh!
Can't do it. Look at that, a bed, a looking glass, a carpet. And your own father got to sleep with the hogs in the tent. They say you're rich, got money. Have you heard?
I ain't got it.
Fool. It's a lie. Judge Thatcher's got it, and you're going to get it for your old father. I'll take you to law. Now, come on with me.
But the widow, she...
You were coming when your pap says so. Are you? Huh?
Yes, Pap. Pap took me upriver in a skiff, crossed to a cabin on the Illinois shore. He spent the time getting drunk and licking me with a cowhide strap. He got right handy with a hickory, too, and I was all over welts. He locked me in for 3 days running and then came back drunker than ever.
Well, this government, that's what I said, just look at it.
Pap, look out for the stool.
There's a lord taking a man's own son away from him. His own son, after I had the expense of raising him. Me, what should be the richest man in town. That's what I told him. Me lying in the mud in the gutter. Huck. Jug's empty. You been stealing my liquor?
You drunk it all, Pap.
Here, you see. All that government with a man can't even keep a full jug. You stay here, boy, you hear? I'm going to town for whiskey, and I'm cutting a 3-inch hickory on the way back. I'll learn a boy to say he's better than his pap. When I get back, I'm going to see what color your backbone is. You hear?
Pap was so drunk he forgot to lock the door, and I wasn't going to wait for him to come back. I loaded up a drift canoe we hauled in. Then I took Pap's gun and shot me a wild pig and bled him all over the cabin floor. I bloodied up the axe good and stuck some of my hairs on it. I reckon they figure robbers got me and dumped me in the Mississippi, and that'd be the end. Then I cut for the canoe and shoved out into the river. About 2 miles downstream, I pulled up on Jackson's Island. It was gray dawn by now. There was freckled places on the ground where the light sifted down through the leaves. A couple of squirrels sat on a limb and jabbered at me friendly. I jumped, though, and I smelled smoke. Somebody had a campfire going on Jackson's Island. I went cautious and slow, but not slow enough. I stepped on a twig and it cracked like a rifle.
Who's there?
Jim? That Widow Douglas is Jim?
Huck. Is that Huck Finn here? What are you doing, Roman?
I ran away from Pap, Jim. He was just about going to finish me. I fixed it so it looked like robbers got me.
No. Say, that's even better than Tom Sawyer could have done.
Hey, what are you doing on Jackson's Island?
Well, maybe I'd better not tell.
Why, Jim?
There's reasons. You wouldn't tell on me, would you, Hook? You promise?
Sure, Jim, I promise.
Well, I run off.
Jim, how come you do a thing like that?
Well, old Widow Douglas, she said she'd never sell me off down to New Orleans. But I heard her tell Miss Watson she was a goner for $800. I didn't wait to hear no more. I lit out for the river, and I swam over to the island. You won't tell, will you, Hook?
I said I wouldn't.
Oh, Jim can help you, Hook. There now. Hear them birds? That sign is going to ring. We'd better find a cave on this here island. It's going to rain powerful.
Pretty soon it began to rain fearful, so the birds was right. It rained for about a week, and the river was rising fast. All sorts of things began to pile up on the island. We fished out a big piece of raft we figured we could use. Once even a house came sailing down and grounded on a snag. Jim looked inside and came out with some old clothes he found. I put on a calico gown and a sunbonnet, and loud I'd paddle over to the Illinois shore and find out what was up.
Come in.
Howdy, ma'am. I don't want to disturb your knitting, none.
Why, that's all right, little girl. And what might your name be?
Sarah Williams from Hookerville, ma'am. I'm going to my uncle in Goshen.
Well, that's a considerable way. You'd better stay here and rest a while. Take off your bonnet.
Oh, no. I reckon I'll be going on soon. I ain't afeard of the dark. Though I do hear there was a murder near here.
That's right. A boy named Huck Finn.
Ain't that a shame?
Lands, it's horror. They do say he was a wild good-for-nothing. A hard lot, that Finn boy.
I allow there's a lot worse, ma'am.
If there is, his father must be one of them. It's rumored about that the father's the one who killed him.
No, is that so?
Old Finn come near to getting lynched, but no one could find him. But now folks judge it was done by a runaway slave named Jim.
But he...
There's a $300 reward. My husband's going to look for him as soon as he gets back from town. Somebody saw smoke on Jackson's Island.
Jackson's?
Here, honey. Wind this yarn around your hands like a good girl.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah.
Your husband's going over to the island?
He went up the river to borrow another gun. What'd you say your name was, honey?
Mary Williams.
Thought you said Sarah when you come in.
Yes, ma'am, I did. It's Sarah Mary Williams.
So that's the way of it. Sarah, catch this yarn in your lap. There.
Got it.
Come now, what's your real name?
What, ma'am?
Is it Bill or Tom or Bob or what?
Oh, please don't poke fun at a poor little girl.
Now you sit down. I ain't going to hurt you. Now, just tell me your secret, son. I'll keep it. I expect you're a runaway apprentice. Now, tell me about it.
Oh, yes, ma'am. I run off from the farmer I was bound to. They beat me something awful. I've been traveling 3 days.
You're a farm boy, eh?
That's right.
Quick, when a cow gets up, which end gets up first?
Hind end, Mum.
A horse?
Forward end.
Which side of the tree does the moss grow on? Fast now.
North side.
If 15 cows is browsing on a hillside, how many east with their heads pointed the same way?
The whole 15, Mum.
Country boy, all right. Now, what's your real name?
George Peters, ma'am.
Well, remember it, George. Don't be telling me it's Alexander later.
It's George, ma'am.
And don't try to fool a woman in that dress. And mind you, when a girl catches anything in her lap, she throws her knees apart to spread her skirt. She don't clap them together the way you did to catch that yarn. Now, trot along, Sarah, Mary, Williams, George, Alexander, and keep out of trouble.
Jim! Jim!
Here I am, Hook. In the bushes.
Get up and hump yourself, Jim. There ain't a minute to lose.
We gotta get the raft out on the river. They're after us. That night we run between 7-8 miles. It was kind of solemn drifting down the big, still river. We tie up days and lay low, and cut loose after dark. The fifth night we passed St. Louis, and it was like the whole world lit up. While we drifted, I told Jim stories I'd read at the widow's about kings and dukes and such.
Hook, I reckon King must be powerful rich.
Oh, they're rich, Jim. Crawling rich.
How much do they get?
Get? Why, they get $1,000 a month if they want it.
Ain't that gay. And what do they do, Hook?
Nothing. They just sit around. Except maybe when there's a war. And sometimes they fuss with the parliament and whack off a few heads. But mostly kings just sit around.
Huckleberry Finn, I wish I were a king.
You can't be. You ain't smart enough. To be a king, you gotta be like Solomon. King Solomon, they say he was the wisest man that ever lived.
Huh. I don't take no stock in that.
Well, he was the wisest man. The widow told me her own self.
He weren't neither. Don't you know about the child that he was going to chop into?
Sure.
Well, then, suppose I'm Solomon, and you's a woman, and that keg is the other, and it's your piece of bread. It's a child. Both of you claims it. Do I find out among the neighbors who it really belongs to? No. I take and whack it in two. Now, what's the use of half a child?
Oh, but hang it, Jim. You clean missed the point 1,000 miles.
No, I don't, Huck. The real point's down further. Down deeper.
No, it ain't, Jim.
It's this way. Just the way Solomon was raised. He don't know the value of no children. What with those wives he had? And about 5 million children running around? What's he care about a child? He just lie, cut him in two. That's what he do.
I never saw such a man. You got it all upside down wrong.
Me? Go along. A man can't settle a dispute about a child with a half a child. Don't talk to me about Solomon. He don't know enough to come in out of the rain.
So we floated along, arguing pleasant-like. We figured 3 nights more would fetch to Cairo, and then we could take a steamboat up to the Free States and be out of trouble.
Look sharp, Huck. Because if we miss Cairo, I'm in a slave country again. And no more show of freedom. No, sir.
I don't know, Jim. The fog's pretty thick.
The first thing I'll do in Free State, save my money. Never spend a single cent. No, sir. And I'll get enough, and I'll buy my wife off old man Parsons' farm. And I'll buy my children free. When we get to Cairo, I'm going to be free.
Listening to Jim, I began to get all feverish with bad conscience. Because I begin to think he's most free and me to blame for it. I couldn't get it out of my conscience. I tried to make out to myself that I didn't run Jim off from his rightful owner. But my conscience ups and says, you could have told. What's poor widow Douglas done to you that you help her slave run off? She never done you no harm.
And I'll steal my two children free off with me to the north.
You hear that talk, Huck Finn? This is what comes of you not thinking. Here's this Jim coming out flat-footed and saying he'd steal his children. Children that belonged to a man I didn't know, who never done me no harm.
That's it. That's Cairo at last. I just know it.
You don't look right to me, Jim. I'll just take the canoe and look.
Pretty soon I'll be jumping for joy. And I'll say it's all on account of Huck. I was a free man. And Huck done it. Jim won't ever forget it. No, sir. You're the best friend Jim ever had. The only friend Jim's got now.
I took the canoe and started out for shore. I was all in a sweat to tell on Jim like my conscience said. When I was about 50 yards off the raft, I heard Jim across the water.
There goes old True Huck, the only friend that ever kept his promise to old Jim.
I felt real sick. But I says, I gotta do it. I can't get out of it. And I paddled over to shore. There was a fella standing on the bank with a gun.
You belong on that raft, boy?
Yes, sir.
Any men on it?
Only one, sir.
Well, there's 5 slaves run off last night from upriver. Your man white or black? Well, boy, white or black?
He's white.
I reckon I'll go out and see for myself.
I wish you would, mister. It's Pap, and he's mighty sick. Uncle John already died from it. Pap's got the he's all over spots.
What? Listen, boy, you got smallpox on that raft? You get that canoe back in the middle of the river, here. Yeah? Don't you go land in smallpox in these parts now. Get!
Jim. Jim.
Here, that buck in the water. I was going to swim if you'd come aboard. My, how you did fool him, Hook. That was the smartest dodge. I expect it saved old Jim. Old Jim ain't going to forget you for that.
We run downriver the rest of the night. Jim straining his eyes through the fog to see Cairo. The mist came in so thick we couldn't even see the lights on the Illinois shore. We asked the fella. He cussed and told us Cairo was still way downriver. Then when daylight come, I dipped up some water to drink.
Look at there, Huck. That's clear old high water inshore. Not the old muddy Mississippi.
We went by Cairo in the fog last night.
Oh, don't let's talk about it, Huck. Poor slave can't have no luck.
Well, we should have asked again, Jim. I should have.
It ain't your fault, Huck. Don't blame yourself for it.
Hey, that steamboat's coming pretty close.
He means to shave off our steering oar, Huck. Them fellows don't care about no raft.
Well, pull the sweep, Jim. Pull.
Ain't no use, Huck. He ain't blown over us just for devilment.
Hey, you. Sheer off. Sheer off.
Jump, Huck. Go down deep under the paddle wheel. Jump.
Talk about bad luck. I couldn't find Jim in the raft till the next night. We had to fix the steering sweep, and this time Jim fixed a wigwam on one end of the raft for bad weather and all. Well, then 2 or 3 days and nights went by, quiet, smooth, and lovely. Then one morning, just as we were getting ready to shove off, we heard a monstrous cry of dogs in the woods. Untie the rope, Jim. There's somebody coming through the brush.
Hey there, boy. Wait.
Let us on that raft. It's a matter of life and death.
We ain't done nothing. And they'll kill us.
Phew. Oh, young man, you saved our lives. I'm sure this gentleman is as grateful as I.
Don't you know each other?
Never had the pleasure. We met on the footpath outside town. That's quite a stride you had, old-timer. How come you was a-running?
Well, I was conducting a little temperance revival. Clear as much as $5 or $6 a night when one of the faithful found me chummy with a jug. Mm. I had the tara boiling and the rail out, so I didn't wait for breakfast. And you, my friend?
Well, sir, I've been selling an article to take the tartar off teeth. Ooh. It does take it off, too. And the enamel with it. I stayed about one night longer than I ought to have. Oh, man, I reckon we ought to double team it.
Sure. Sounds right to me. What's your line, mostly?
Journeyman printer by trade.
That ain't what they run you out of town for.
We wasn't run out, boy. We made a rapid exit. What else do you do, friend, aside from printing?
Well, I do a little in the patent medicine way. Theater actor. Tragedy, you know.
That a fact.
Take a turn to mesmerism and phrenology, too, when there's a chance. Teach singing, geography school sometimes for change. Sling a lecture sometimes. Do lots of things. Just so it ain't work. What's your line?
Well, I'm a man of science. Done considerable in a doctrine way in my time. Laying on of hands is my best holt. I can tell a fortune fine, too, when I got somebody along to find out the facts for me. Preaching's a good dodge, too. Working camp meetings, missionary rounds.
That sounds all right to me. Yes, sir, old man, I reckon we ought to double team.
Well, I've been looking for a partner, it's a fact.
Look, I hate to butt in here, but I figure as you're riding our raft, maybe one of you'd man the sweep for a while.
The sweep? Oh, the sweep.
That's right. We take turns.
I see. Alas, what are you laughing about? To think that I should be leading such a life.
Sounds like a pretty good life to me.
To think that I should be degraded down to such company.
Well, ain't this company good enough for you?
Oh, I reckon it's as good as I deserve. I did it myself. I don't blame you, gentlemen.
Well, that's big-hearted of me, ain't it, boy?
Yes, sir.
He looks powerful sad, Hook.
The world is a brutal place, and it'll go on without me. Someday I'll lie down and forget it all. And my poor broken heart will rest.
Well, drat your poor broken heart.
Alas.
What are you heaving your poor broken heart at us for? We ain't done nothing.
No. I know you haven't. I brought myself down. It's right that I should suffer.
Where was you brought down from?
Oh, you would not believe me. The world never believes. Let it pass. 'Tis no matter. The secret of my birth.
What?
Gentlemen, I have confidence in you. By rights, I am a duke.
No, you can't mean it.
I am the rightful Duke of Bridgewater, and here I am, torn from my estate by a usurper, despised by the world, degraded to the companionship of felons. On a raft.
There, now, don't cry.
Well, I'll be. It would make me a trifle happier if you called me Your Grace. Or even Bridgewater, that's my title, you know. And, of course, gentlemen, I cannot do any manual labor.
Ah!
Well, I guess you can't stand watch then, Your Lordship. The other one will have
Look
to.
Here, Bilgewater.
Bridgewater.
I'm a nation sorry for you, but you ain't the only one been snaked wrongfully out of a high place. I, too, have a secret of my birth.
Now, look at that, huh?
Bilgewater, cannot trust you.
To the bitter death.
Well, I am the late Dauphin.
The what?
The disappeared Dauphin. Louis the 17th, son of Louis the 16th, of Marie Antoinette. The rightful King of France.
At your age?
And I would consider it a kindness if you would address me as Your Majesty. And naturally, that is, of course, I cannot stoop to menial labor.
Well, that's too much. I won't swallow that. No, sir.
See, boy, the Duke is jealous.
I sure wish Tom Sawyer were here.
King. Him, the disappeared King of France.
Ah! Bilgewater, I'll tell you something. Like as not, we got to be together a blame long time on this here raft. So what's the use of being sour?
Well, I don't mind a small lie, not a bit, but this...
Tain't my fault I was born a king instead of a duke. Tain't your fault you was born duke instead of a king. What's the use to worry? Make the best of things the way you find them. That's my motto. Now, come on. Give us your hand, Duke, and let's all be friends.
Well, I reckon that's the way it'll have to be.
Gory, Hook. Ain't it grand to have honest-to-goodness royalty on the raft?
It didn't take me long to make up my mind that these liars weren't no kings or dukes, but I never said nothing. We kept Your Grace and Your Majesty in 'em, and everything got along fine. I told him Jim was my property, and I was taking him down to my Uncle Ben's place below New Orleans.
You sure he ain't a runaway slave?
Would a runaway run south?
Well, and how come you travel at night?
Well, folks kept trying to get Jim away from us, saying he was a fugitive. They don't bother us none at night.
We'll figure something out about that. And speaking of figuring, my dear Duke, it's time we laid out a campaign.
Well, just by chance, my dear Dauphin, I have here in my carpet bag several playbills left over from my last engagement in Drury Lane Theatre, London.
You mean theatre acting?
Have you ever trod the boards, royalty?
No.
You shall, fallen grandeur. The first good town we come to, we'll hire a hall and do Romeo and Juliet.
Well, it's all right with me if it pays, Bilgewater. I don't know much about play acting, though. I was too small when Pap used to have him at the palace in France.
Well, don't worry. I'll learn you. I'll be Romeo, and you'll be his pretty sweetheart, Juliet.
Now, wait a minute.
Juliet's a young girl, Duke. Ain't my peel dome and white whiskers going to look uncommon odd on her?
Don't worry. These country jakes won't ever think of it.
Well, gentlemen, I've been up to the village. Had quite an afternoon working in the local print shop.
Working?
In a manner of speaking.
Oh.
I took in $10 worth of advertisements for the town newspaper, sold 3 cut-rate subscriptions. Total $9. Not counting this jug.
But it ain't your paper to take ads for.
My boy, you haven't the proper outlook.